Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Craig Aaron, who is the Managing Director at Free Press and is the editor and co-author of Changing Media, Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. Before joining Free Press, he was an investigative reporter for Public Citizen's Congress Watch. Welcome to Background Briefing, Craig Aaron.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks, Craig. And your organization, Free Press, had its Free Press Action Fund Fight for the Future and Demand Progress as well, joining forces. And you had a big win today. You've been lobbying heavily to repeal the decision to repeal net neutrality by Chairman Pai of the FCC. And the Senate today voted. They voted 52-47 in favor of a resolution of disapproval that would overturn the FCC's unpopular 2017 repeal of net neutrality protections. And joining the 49 Democrats were Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and John Kennedy of Louisiana. So I imagine you feel good about it, but it's a pretty uphill battle from now on, isn't it, with the House and with Trump?
I mean, it certainly is. We do feel good. I think this is a huge win. You know, we've been counted out on net neutrality many times before, and certainly the Trump FCC moving in December to eliminate the rules we fought for almost a decade to pass during the Obama administration was a huge blow, but it also awakened an incredible groundswell of public opposition. And I think you saw the results of that today in the Senate, because let's not forget, the Senate is a Republican-controlled body as well. And, you know, now one that has seen bipartisan support for overturning what the FCC did, which is pretty remarkable for a Republican-controlled Senate to rebuke a Republican agency like they did today. So we're really hoping to capitalize on that momentum. There's no question that we face a steep climb in the House, but we also know this is an issue that's broken through in ways that we simply haven't seen before. I mean, I've been fighting for net neutrality for more than 10 years, and the level of public awareness, interest, those people willing to take action isn't like anything we've seen before. Things have broken through. This has become something that's really mobilizing people in this Trump era. And I think we're seeing the results. And so I think when we bring that to the House, a House that is certainly worried about the upcoming election, this is an issue that's become incredibly popular among, especially among young people. We think we can really begin to move those votes. I'm sure that the phone and cable companies we'll try to throw up obstacles. There'll be all sorts of procedural moves to try to keep a net neutrality vote from happening. But, you know, that's a fight that we're actually excited to be in. Because, again, time and again over this fight, you know, going back to 2005, 2006, we've been told, you know, you're not going to get what you want. It's not possible. Give up. Compromise. And we've pushed back and gotten results. And today is an important chapter in that story.
Well, isn't it true, though, Craig Aaron, that many of the states that are most affected by the repeal of net neutrality by the FCC are rural states, which are largely red states? And that was, in fact, Lisa Murkowski's argument today.
That's right. I think that one of the reasons that net neutrality has appeal and one of the reasons that so many people have been speaking out in places where you don't necessarily see a lot of political protest, Alaska, Louisiana, some of these other states, even where senators didn't do the right thing today, Colorado, Nevada, is that because in a lot of these places, the choices when it comes to broadband are so limited. You know, for most of us, we're lucky if we have two choices for high-speed internet access. And if both companies decide they're going to violate net neutrality and discriminate online, there's really nowhere else to go. But the more rural you get, the further from the coast you get, really the fewer choices there are. And I think you saw both from Senator Murkowski in Alaska and Senator Kennedy in Louisiana, you know, really strong statements about, you know, look, I would love to not do this, but my choice is, you know, trust the cable company or don't, and I don't trust the cable company. That's basically what Senator Kennedy said today. And I think the experience for so many people in urban and rural areas, but especially in rural areas, you know, finding a lack of access in communities all across the country, you know, these cable and phone companies are among the most hated for a reason. And that's that people aren't getting good service. They're feeling ripped off. And we've built a system where the incentives aren't for these companies to serve their customers. They're to come up with ways to take advantage of their market dominance, of the scarcity that they enjoy for their product. And people are really paying attention to that. And politicians are being forced to pay attention because this is an issue that's showing up in their polling. They're hearing about it when they're back in their districts. And, you know, people don't trust the phone and cable companies, and they don't think they're getting the service that they deserve. And they can feel their communities falling behind, in some cases the rest of the country or the rest of the world, because they're not enjoying access to everything that they want. And that's what's been so interesting about working on an issue like net neutrality, where it hasn't broken down along partisan lines. I mean, even if you read the right-wing press, they might be in line with the phone and cable companies. But go down in those comment threads on a website like Breitbart, and you'll see people very confused because they want the free and open internet to stay that way, even if their, you know, politics are more conservative.
And again, I'm speaking with Craig Aaron, who's the managing director at Free Press and the editor and co-author of Changing Media, Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. Before joining Free Press, he was an investigative reporter for Public Citizens Congress Watch. And we're talking about the what seems to be a surprise vote in the Senate today, 52-47, to overturn the overturning, if you will, of net neutrality protections by the FCC under Ajit Pai. And of course, the House is in the thrall of the libertarian billionaires like the Koch brothers and others. I don't know for the life of me why the Koch brothers, who talk about freedom all the time, freedom is their mantra, why they want monopolies. When you say that these cable companies can't be trusted, I think the more accurate word is that they're hated. Consumers hate them.
Yeah.
They're just terrible. They charge you more and more for less and less. And it's a complete embarrassment. The country that invented the internet is going further and further behind every day in terms of global competition in broadband. We're lucky to get, what's the national average? 9 megabytes per second or something pathetic, when you get a gigabyte in South Korea and Japan and in France. And in some, you know, I mean, it's embarrassing what they're offering up for lots and lots of money.
And I think this is where it does come back to policy decisions. And the United States decided to abandon competition policy, a more competitive system with lots of choices. You know, you can think all the way back to those days of dial-up, or some listeners might still remember. And you had a lot of choices, 5 or 6 different choices for having your internet service, and prices went down. We all know that our cable bills only go in one direction, up and up some more. So even as speeds and services have improved in the United States, what you see happening is that it becomes out of reach financially. And even though this service is essential, if you want to connect and communicate in the modern era, people are having to make really tough choices about their family's budgets, their family's expenses. And because these big companies don't face meaningful competition, they also don't have to pay any attention to customer service. They're looking for ways to, you know, nickel and dime their customers, add on hidden fees, interfere with content, none of which is what their customers want. I mean, what most people want is a big pipe coming to their house, giving them what they want to watch when they want to watch it, websites they want to visit. And they don't want a middleman, an intermediary, deciding for them which sites are going to work and which won't. And I think that's one of the reasons this sort of once obscure issue of net neutrality has really caught hold, because so much of our daily experience is now tied up in that internet connection, whether you're at your house or you're using your smartphone. And it's become that important to people, whether they're finding work, starting their own businesses, doing political organizing. You know, these tools have become invaluable. And the big companies that we rely on, and really all we're asking for is a fair price and get out of the way, keep wanting to interfere, find these other advantages, favor their own content and services. And it's overwhelmingly rejected by people. I mean, the polls show net neutrality is an issue supported by, you know, 85% of Americans across the political spectrum. And I think politicians are starting to wake up to that fact and realize that they have found themselves on the wrong side of this for all the reasons that I'm sure you've talked about a million times before: the corruption of the political system, the campaign finance system, all the money these companies pump into Washington, D.C. But it's really started to catch up with them. And I think that you've seen these companies making these massive overreaches, looking for these special favors, and now being met with real opposition and resistance that never existed in this space or on issues like this before. They've broken through, and that starts to create a political opportunity, one that, you know, politicians really have to pay attention to.
Just in the last minute,
gone from an issue at the margins to one that's showing up in the polling of all these members of Congress. Sure. They're hearing about from their kids, and that's completely changed the political calculus in a way that actually leaves me optimistic. Even though we're in the Trump administration, even though there's challenges in the House, that all the trends are toward actually getting these policies right.
But just in the last minute, what can be done to get the Trump to change his mind? He ran as a populist, the champion of the little guy, wanted to drain the swamp. Everything that he's protecting and the House is protecting is the swamp and big money from the telecoms. And the people want a net neutrality, and they want everything that we've talked about. So, and also it's crippling America's competitive advantage. As a businessman, he ought to recognize that.
Well, I think we have to force him to have to make the choice. And the key to doing that is passing legislation in the House of Representatives. We need 218 votes. I know right now today we've got at least 160 co-sponsors of the bill. I can count up to 30 or 35 more people I'm pretty confident will vote for it. So we're talking about 25 Republicans in the House that we need to find in the next few weeks willing to support the free and open Internet. That should be very doable in a hotly contested election year. And if the House can pass this legislation and we can avoid the procedural hurdles that the Republican leadership will throw up, then we're going to have the opportunity to win this fight. I can't predict what Donald Trump will do from one day to the next. So I'm willing to take that bet and say, if we put a bill on his plate, maybe he just lets it go through. Maybe he doesn't, and we're having a fight over a veto. I, for one, welcome that fight. And I think, you know, this is an issue that's become so popular that if you're sitting somewhere like Donald Trump is sitting, doing so many things that are unpopular, maybe this is the fight you don't want to pick. I don't know. I think the best thing we can do is get there, and that means going through the House of Representatives, and that's the next step.
Well, Craig Aaron, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Craig Aaron, who's the Managing Director at Free Press and is the editor and co-author of Changing Media Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. And before joining Free Press, he was an investigative reporter for Public Citizens Congress Watch. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org. We can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. The headline.